This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Story number one. I've always considered myself a logical person. I'm the guy who debunks ghost stories at parties and explains how the mind plays tricks on us. But for the past 2 weeks, I've been experiencing things I can't explain, and I'm starting to think I'm either losing my mind or something far worse is happening. It started with a sudden local news notification on my phone about a woman who died at a bus stop on Route 16, about 3 miles from my house. I was coming back from my work when the notification came. I had no apps or websites subscribed. According to the story, she was waiting in the rain when she was struck by a hit-and-run driver. I didn't think much of it at the time, just another tragic accident. It all started 2 days after the news notification came. That night I was driving home from a late shift. It was raining, not heavily, but enough that I had my wipers on intermittent. As I approached the intersection with the bus stop mentioned in the article, my radio suddenly cut to static. I reached to change the station when I heard something that made my blood run cold. A woman's voice, barely audible through the loud noise of the rain, whispering a name. Not just any name, my name. I glanced at the bus stop and saw her, a woman in a white dress, completely dry despite of the heavy rain outside, standing perfectly still. Something about her posture seemed wrong, like she wasn't quite standing the way a person should. When I looked again, she was gone. I tried to forget about it, but the next night, my usual route home took me past the same spot. Again, the radio turned to static. The temperature in my car dropped so suddenly that I could see my breath forming clouds in front of me. It was 50 degrees outside, and there she was again, standing at the bus stop, her dress clinging to her body, dripping wet this time, despite the clear night sky. She was slightly closer to the road this time. I'm certain of it. By the third night, I was actively dreading my drive home. I considered taking a different route. I tried using the GPS, but it glitched, showing and taking me through the same road. This time when I passed, I caught a glimpse of something in my passenger seat. A soaking wet woman, her hair plastered to her pale face, water dripping onto my upholstery. When I jerked my head to look directly at her, the seat was empty. But the fabric was wet to the touch, and the water, it smelled faintly of perfume and rot. Like lilacs, but rotten. That night I had the first dream. I was standing at that bus stop in the pouring rain, watching my car drive by. I could see myself behind the wheel, oblivious. I tried to scream, to wave, but I couldn't move. I just stood there, getting wetter and colder as my headlights disappeared around the bend. And along with me, the woman standing as if she had taken my voice. When I woke up, there was a small puddle of water on my bedroom floor. I started researching the accident obsessively. I searched through different news sites to get more details, but they had no record of ever publishing such a story. The notification I received seemed to have vanished from my phone. When I asked friends if they'd heard about the accident, no one knew what I was talking about. Finally, after searching through the dark web, my last resort, I found an archived police report published. There had been an accident 5 years ago to the day. A woman named Elena Mercer, 27, killed in a hit and run at exactly 8:47 p.m. The driver was never caught. That evening, I noticed my watch had stopped at 8:47. I reset it, but by morning it had stopped again at 8:47. I decided to document everything. I drove to the bus stop during daylight and took photos with my phone. When I looked at them later, my stomach lurched. There on the pavement was a dark stain in the shape of a human body, something completely invisible to my naked eye when I was there. The next morning, I found another puddle in my car, and the next, and the next. Each night when I drove past the bus stop, she was standing slightly closer to the road, as if incrementally inching her way toward my path. Last night, I finally pulled over. I don't know what possessed me to do it. Fear? Curiosity? A death wish? I stopped the car about 20 feet from the bus stop and waited. Nothing happened. After 10 minutes of sitting in the bone-chilling cold of my car, despite the heater running full blast, I put the car in drive and went home. This morning, there was a handprint on my rear window, a perfect outline of a woman's hand, as if pressed against the glass from the inside. It appears to be made of water, but it won't wipe away. I've tried everything. Windex, alcohol, even a razor blade. It's like it's part of the glass now. When I got in my car to go to work, I found a small white button on the driver's seat. It matches exactly the buttons from that woman's dress in the accident photos I had seen in the article. My GPS now every day reroutes me to that intersection regardless of what destination I enter. I factory reset it twice. It doesn't matter. Last night, I glimpsed her in my bathroom mirror while brushing my teeth, just for a split second, standing behind me, dripping wet, her eyes like empty sockets. The most terrifying part? When I looked at my odometer this morning, I realized something I hadn't connected before. The mileage on my car matches exactly the police estimate of how far the hit-and-run driver had driven since purchasing their vehicle. And I bought my car used 5 years ago. Story number two. The building I work in is a pretty standard corporate tower. 12 floors, generic office decor, bad coffee machines, you know the type. For the past 2 years, I've worked on the 9th floor in IT support. Nothing interesting happens here, ever. At least that's what I used to think. Last month, that changed. It was late. I'd stayed behind to finish a project. The office was empty, and the cleaning crew had already come and gone. I stepped into the elevator to head home, and as I watched the buttons light up one by one, something strange happened. The elevator stopped at the 7th floor. The doors slid open, but what stood before me wasn't the 7th floor I've passed 100 times before. The lights flickered weakly, casting long, unsettling shadows across the space. The walls looked older, like they hadn't been touched in decades. All the cubicles were abandoned, layered in a thin film of dust. Desks were cluttered with papers and personal trinkets, but everything felt frozen, like time had stopped there. There was no one in sight, but I could have sworn I heard faint typing in the distance, rhythmic and mechanical, like one of those old typewriters my grandfather used to own. Before I could do anything, the elevator doors slid closed on their own, jerking me back to the brightly lit, normal world as it carried me down to the first floor. The next day, I went to the security desk. Maybe I'd imagined the whole thing. Maybe I was just overworked, tired, and projecting horror elements onto a mundane situation. But when I casually mentioned the 7th floor, the guard gave me a strange look and told me that there was no 7th floor. He claimed the building skips from the 6th to the 8th floor. I couldn't believe it. I've ridden the elevator past the 7th floor countless times. I know it's there. But he insisted, saying it was some superstition thing from when the building was designed. That should have been the end of it. Except, I could still access the 7th floor. And worse, late at night when I'm on the 9th floor, I can hear it. Typing. Faint, but steady. It drifts up through the vents and mingles with other sounds. The low murmur of voices, muffled laughter, the occasional sharp ring of a phone. The kind of sounds you'd hear in an old office. I told myself it was my imagination. I told myself this wasn't real. Until a week later, when I made the stupidest decision of my life, I tried to visit it again. I waited until my floor cleared out. Just after midnight, I rode the elevator down and pressed 7. The elevator shook as it moved, an odd, unnatural sensation. As the doors slid open, the same eerie dim light greeted me. At first, I thought it looked exactly as it did the first time, but this time, I noticed something else. The calendar on one of the cubicles was set to March 1974. A half-scrawled last day was circled heavily, the ink bleeding into the paper. Dust-covered chairs sat slightly swiveled, as though someone had only just stood up. I stepped hesitantly into the hallway. Despite the suffocating silence, I couldn't shake the feeling I was being watched. My reflection in the glossy window beside me caught my eye, and that's when I saw it. Behind me in the reflection, a shadow twisted unnaturally. Something not human. It was a tall, blurred figure, moving toward me with an almost shambling gait. But when I whipped around to look with my own eyes, there was nothing there. I walked forward, and that's when I noticed the paper cranes. Small, delicate origami cranes sat scattered across desks and littered the floor. Each of them bore writing, though I couldn't fully make it out, since some letters were smudged or faded. It was too quiet. Suddenly, I felt a burst of cold air hit me from the vents, and in the blink of an eye, the office seemed to change. It wasn't empty anymore. People were there.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Working at desks, but not normal people. They were pale, impossibly thin, with hollow eyes sunken into their faces that glimmered faintly. Their movements were jerky, mechanical. Their heads didn't turn when they typed. Some of them didn't even have faces, just smooth, featureless skin. I ran back to the elevator and slammed the button. The door felt like it took years to close. When it did, one of the lights inside started flickering. And then the voice came. From the speaker, amidst a crackle of static, I heard an almost robotic voice whisper my name. I screamed, hitting random buttons, and mercifully, the elevator started moving, but not where I wanted it to go. The screen above the door didn't show the floors anymore. Instead, it began counting down. 10, 9, 8. By the time it hit 3, I thought I was about to vomit. But then I was back on the first floor, the lobby cold and empty. It didn't stop there. Since that night, things have only gotten worse. Chairs move on their own at night, scraping loudly across the floor, especially when I'm alone. I started receiving bizarre emails from someone I don't know at all, thanking me for my dedication to work. When I looked him up in the archives, I found a personnel record from 1974. The attached file said he disappeared on March 11th, 1974. Last night, I found a folder sitting on my desk. It was labeled as 7th Floor Management and had several photos in it. There was an old office group photo, yellowed with age. But in the center of it was something that still makes me want to crawl out of my skin. A tall figure in a suit, completely faceless, like a mannequin. I'm terrified to go back. Every night, the button in the lift flickers to floor 7. And now when I'm near the elevator, it doesn't just stop at 7 anymore. Sometimes, it goes far below. I don't think there's a basement. Story number three. Ever since I moved into this new apartment, I've had this unsettling feeling, like something is just slightly off. At first, I brushed it off as paranoia. It was my first time living alone in a big city. I figured it was just a combination of homesickness and the eerie quiet of my neighborhood at night. That is, until I started noticing my neighbor across the street. From my living room window, I had a clear view into the building directly opposite mine. My neighbor had an unnervingly predictable routine. Coffee at 7 a.m., leaves for work at 8:15, returns at 6:20, watches TV until 11, lights out. Every day, without fail. At first, I thought it was just one of those quirks, but the more I watched, the more wrong it felt. Something about the way he moved, the precision of it all. But what finally got me was his reflection. One evening, as he stood by his window sipping his coffee, I noticed that his reflection didn't match. It moved more sluggishly, almost like it was struggling to keep up with him. And then, out of nowhere, his reflected face smiled. He wasn't smiling. I watched him turn away, setting his coffee down, but the reflection remained turned toward me, smiling. I shut my curtains after that, convinced I was just overtired or imagining things. The next day, I told myself I wouldn't glance across the street, but I did. I couldn't help it. His routine continued like clockwork, but every night after that reflection moment, things started to escalate. First, the lights. His lights flickered on and off at the exact same time every day, as if someone had rigged a timer. I didn't think much of it until I noticed a few days later that the very same pattern started happening in my apartment. My overhead light, my bedside lamp. Flicker on, flicker off. Same intervals, same rhythm. Timing so precise it felt like my space was imitating his. Then the sounds began. Faint whispers in my apartment at night. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but it felt like they were behind the walls, just out of reach. There was this awful sensation, like I wasn't alone. I'd hear faint footsteps in the hallway when no one was there. The faint scratching of nails on surfaces I didn't recognize. I kept telling myself the building's old. Maybe it's mice or bad plumbing. But the whispers, God, the whispers, always felt directed at me, like they knew I could hear them. Worst of all was the mimicry. One evening, I found myself staring idly out my window, sipping my own coffee, trying to shake my nerves. I glanced at his apartment and nearly dropped my mug. He was there, standing in the window, holding a coffee cup, mimicking my every move in perfect real time. It wasn't subtle either. He would tilt his head when I did, drink when I...
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
I did shift his weight when I shifted mine. It wasn't just imitation. It was mockery. But it wasn't his expression that unnerved me. It was his eyes. His gaze wasn't directed at his reflection or his surroundings. It was locked on me, watching me, inhabiting my movements. And the moment I stepped away from the window to break our twisted mirroring, a freezing, suffocating chill wrapped around me like cold hands, stopping me in my tracks. I couldn't breathe, couldn't move, until I stumbled back to the couch, shaking. Nights after that were worse. The shadows in his room didn't behave like shadows. One evening, I swear, I saw his shadow stretch up the wall unnaturally, like it was reaching for the ceiling, trembling as if it was alive. Other nights, his silhouette would stand completely still while he moved. Once I could have sworn the shadow pointed directly at me. The night before all hell broke loose, his routine finally broke. I was watching TV, and curiosity got the better of me. I peeked across the street. He wasn't moving. He was standing dead still in his darkened apartment, his face just inches from the window, staring straight at my window. His TV was on behind him, but it wasn't playing anything, just static. I didn't know how long I watched him before I snapped out of it. Something about it felt wrong in a way I can't even fully explain. It made my stomach drop, my skin crawl. The next morning, things took an even darker turn. While scrolling through my phone, I found photos I didn't take. Pictures of my living room, pictures of my bedroom. Later that evening, he knocked on my door. When I opened it, I nearly screamed. It was him, the same man I'd been watching for weeks. He was pale, gaunt, distant, some part of his face just blurry. He told me he had been out of town for 2 weeks and was staying with a friend. He was just here to ask if I'd seen anyone in his apartment, if anyone stranger had been visiting. All I could hear while he spoke was a faint voice echoing behind me, coming from my hallway. It was saying my name, hesitantly, shakily, my own voice. That night I glanced out the window for the last time. He, or it, whatever was there, stood at the window motionless all night long. When I finally looked away, I felt it, a presence behind me. Now I don't know what's worse, when I'm alone and the apartment feels alive, or when the knock on my door comes again. I moved here looking for peace and solitude. Instead, I feel like something has found me. Story number 4. I'm not entirely sure how to write this without sounding insane, but I need to get it out. Because if I don't, I think it'll take me, like it took her. I work as a medical records clerk at a small rural hospital. My job is boring, digitizing decades-old files, scanning records, filing away what's left of the old paper system. A couple of months ago, while going through patient records from 1978, I found a file that stopped me in my tracks. It detailed a case about an unidentified woman admitted after being found wandering a nearby highway. She had no memory of who she was, no ID, no name, just that she was a female in her late 20s. What froze me wasn't her story, it was her birth date. It was the same as mine. Month, day, year, exactly the same. My stomach started to churn when I saw the blood type listed. O negative, same as me. But the part that really made my skin crawl, there was a note about two birthmarks on her left forearm, one shaped like a crescent moon, another like a small star. I have those exact birthmarks. The file had one Polaroid attached. It showed a woman who looked like me, but younger. Her face was blank, her eyes hollow like she'd already seen something that broke her completely. At first, I thought it was just a creepy coincidence. You know how your brain will try to explain away disturbing things? That's what I did. Maybe it was some distant relative, someone who just happened to look like me. That worked for about a day. Then things started happening. At first it was small, things I could chalk up to exhaustion from long hours. I'd hear faint whispers in the records room late at night. Whispers, always soft, almost tender, but so distant I couldn't make out where they were coming from. I even thought I heard the faint clacking of an old typewriter once. I tried to convince myself it was just the creak of the old building settling, but now I'm not so sure. The Polaroid started changing after that. At first, I thought I was imagining it, but every time I looked at it, her face seemed different. Her lips would turn down as if she were frowning. Her eyes looked more desperate, wide with something like fear or guilt. And then shadows. Shadows started to flicker in the background. At one point, a hand appeared faintly on her shoulder. Not hers, a man's hand, pale and skeletal. I put the Polaroid in my drawer, refusing to look at it again, but I swear, I think I could still feel it watching me. And if you think that's creepy, it gets worse. Some of the older wings in our hospital have been sealed off for years. When I was walking by one of those corridors one night, the air suddenly felt colder, heavy in my lungs. Something was wrong. My surroundings flickered, just for a split second, almost like a burned-out light bulb trying to come back on. In that blink of an eye, the hall looked completely different. Walls grimy with age, old medical carts pushed against one side, shadows pooling unnaturally in the corners. I saw nurses, except they didn't look alive. Their skin was grayish, their eyes unfocused, and their movements jerky, like something was forcing their bodies to walk. They didn't acknowledge me. They just moved past me. And then the door appeared. The sealed door to that female patient's room, long locked away, was suddenly right there in front of me, slightly ajar. I couldn't move closer. I swear, the air itself felt like it was vibrating, and there was a faint, high-pitched cry coming from the room. It sounded so familiar. It sounded like me. The file hasn't stopped haunting me. The nurse's note scrawled in the last entry of that female patient's record started to smear and shift. I barely had time to process what the hell that even meant before the computer started glitching. Files I hadn't pulled up would randomly appear on my screen, cases of patients who disappeared. Every single one of those cases had Polaroids too, and guess what? Their faces looked like mine too. Different hairstyles, different decades, but me. Oh, and mirrors? Last week, I caught my reflection grinning at me when my face felt frozen in terror. Other things have been happening too, things I can't explain. Elderly patients tell me they recognize me, swearing I was their nurse decades ago, even though I wasn't even born then. Files are disappearing from the system, and yet dozens of Polaroids of me keep being placed on my desk without explanation. And the clocks? I keep losing time. 45 minutes will blink by in seconds, or I'll watch the time rewind backwards. Always back to 1978. The worst part, though, is the nightmares. Every night, I dream I'm walking the highway where that female patient was found. The shadows from passing cars begin to take on monstrous shapes, and I'm screaming, trying to run, but my body won't move. When I wake up, my feet are dirty. I find gravel stuck under my fingernails. The nurses at the hospital have started humming this children's song, an eerie rhyme. When I asked them about it, they looked at me like I'd grown a second head. They insist they weren't singing anything. The scariest part? I finally dug deeper into historical records going way beyond the hospital's archives. And I found something. A photograph dated 1879. A young woman with my face. She wore a nurse's uniform. Her name was listed as Jane. It's me. Even my name is Jane. This thing, whatever it is, has been repeating for over a century, and I think I'm next. Yesterday, the door to that female patient's room appeared again, and this time, I swear I heard myself whisper from behind, asking for help. I don't know how to break this cycle. I think I'm already fading. I'm scared that not even this will stay. Story number 5. I don't even know where to start with this. I'm still telling myself this is some elaborate prank, or maybe even my brain playing tricks on me. But things have gotten so bad that I can't ignore it anymore. I feel like I'm being watched, followed, hunted. And the worst part is, it all started with something as harmless as voice memos. I use my phone's voice notes app to record song ideas when I'm driving. I'm an amateur songwriter, and singing in the car is usually when inspiration hits. A month ago, I was scrolling through my recordings and found one from a night I know I didn't record. The timestamp was 3 a.m. I was asleep at the time. That first recording was just 4 minutes of highway-like road noise, even though my car was parked in the garage that night. Near the end, I heard something that froze me, my own voice whispering that there was someone in the back seat. I live alone. At first, I told myself it had to be a glitch. Some audio from another day got mislabeled or corrupted. I mean, it had to be, right? But then I found another one. Same timestamp, 3 a.m. This time, it was 4 minutes of deep, heavy breathing, punctuated by the sound of my doorknob turning ever so slowly. I got chills just listening. It's the specific metallic click sound my front door makes when someone tries to open it. But the door was locked. I checked it a dozen times. No one had gotten in, or at least I thought so then. A couple of days later, I started noticing small things around my house. My closet door, which I always leave closed, would be slightly ajar. A glass I'd swear I left in the kitchen would be on the coffee table instead. One night, while playing a recording, I swore I heard something behind me. Just a faint scrape, like furniture being dragged. When I turned around, my chair had shifted a few inches. The only problem? I hadn't touched it. Things escalated quickly after that. Another voice note appeared, and I made the mistake of playing it late at night while sitting in my car. I'd parked and hadn't even started driving, but the sound I heard was unsettling. Tires screeching, my own voice screaming, and then silence. Through my rearview mirror, I suddenly spotted it. A dark, vaguely human shape in the back seat, turning its head just slightly toward me. I spun around, but of course the back seat was empty. After that experience, I stopped driving at night altogether. But when I stopped halfway through the same recording and replayed portions of it later in my apartment, my lights flickered violently, and my bedroom door creaked open of its own accord. I felt something cold behind me, like the faintest breath on my neck. I couldn't even finish listening to it. The voice notes started getting weirder. One of them? It sounded almost like me, but off. The tone was wrong, too flat, too deliberate. The voice would say things that only I know, whispering that I had left the window open last night, or me looking over my shoulder before unlocking the door. My stomach drops every time I hear it. A few nights ago, I decided to drive during the day, trying to clear my head. The GPS randomly glitched, and it took me down unfamiliar side streets. Turn after turn, everything looked off. Trees too tall, homes too abandoned, signs with glaringly wrong names. It was broad daylight, but the wrongness was suffocating. A stranger walked past my car as I stopped at a dead end, looking at me too long, too closely. They looked like me, but with something subtly wrong about their face, almost like my features had been traced out of memory and warped. And then it got worse. That night I woke up in my bed with deep, furious scratches running across my arms, stinging like someone had clawed me in my sleep. Another voice note had appeared at exactly 3 a.m., and this time I got brave or stupid enough to listen to it. It started with the sound of slow, dragging footsteps, and then something wet, sloppy, almost like something crawling across the floor. My voice was on this recording again, but I wasn't speaking. I was sobbing, begging, and choking out the words like please and stop. I set up a camera in my bedroom out of desperation. What it caught made my blood run cold. At exactly 3 a.m., the camera showed me sitting upright in bed, staring into the pitch-dark room with eyes wide open, completely still for 2 minutes before lying back down. My phone still recording? But after waking up, I found my phone in the living room. 2 nights ago, I woke up in my car. My hands were locked on the steering wheel, my phone in the passenger seat with the voice note app open. I couldn't remember leaving my house at all. The timestamp of the recording? 3 a.m. Again, it played on its own while I sat there shivering. The voice wasn't a mimic this time. It was calm, unfamiliar, and guttural, telling me that I couldn't escape. Yesterday, the mirror in my bathroom betrayed me. My reflection didn't follow my movements at first. It just stood still when I looked in, mouth open, until it finally caught up like it was snapping out of a trance. And now I swear I feel something sitting behind me even as I type this. Not breathing, not moving, just there. I tried deleting all the recordings today. I thought maybe doing this would end it. And then, moments ago, my phone buzzed. A new voice note had appeared, already recording. I could hear myself breathing, except I wasn't. Is there any way to make this stop? Please, someone, tell me this can be explained. Story number 6. I need to get this all out. Maybe someone here can help me. Or maybe I just need to write it down so it feels less real. A few weeks ago, I began the long, exhausting process of clearing out my parents' house after their passing. They lived there for over 30 years, and the sheer amount of stuff they accumulated was overwhelming. Last Wednesday, I decided to tackle the attic, the place where forgotten memories, holiday decorations, and old dusty boxes go to die. As I sorted through the clutter, I found a photo album tucked away under a pile of moth-eaten blankets. It looked old, leather-bound with tarnished gold edges, and when I opened it, I realized it was filled with pictures of my childhood. The early pages were innocent enough, shots of birthday parties, Christmas mornings, me in my Halloween costumes. I smiled at the sight of my 8-year-old self grinning toothlessly as I held a balloon halfway deflated. For a brief moment, I felt warm, comforted by these stilled fragments of my past. Then I saw him. It was a group photo from my 8th birthday party. There I was in the center, arms around my cousins, sticky-faced from cake frosting, and right next to me, so close he was practically touching me, was a pale boy I didn't recognize. I frowned. He had thin, stringy blonde hair, sallow skin, and an odd, almost vacant look in his eyes. I turned the photo over. No names, no dates. I'd convinced myself it was probably a forgotten neighborhood kid. Maybe the child of one of my parents' friends. Except, he didn't look familiar at all. I flipped ahead. The same boy appeared in more photos, always near me, watching me. And the strange thing was, in every picture, he seemed to get closer. In one, he stood a few feet to my left, hands clutching some sort of toy. In another, he was sitting cross-legged on the floor, but his gaze wasn't on the game spread out in front of him. It was on me. I swear his expression didn't change from one photo to the next. A blank stare, dead eyes. By the time I got to the last picture, my hands were shaking. It was the day before I was hospitalized with a fever that almost killed me. I remember that day so clearly that I'm absolutely sure this boy wasn't there. In the photo, I'm sitting at a table outside, eating a sandwich. And standing right behind me, as though posing for the camera, is the pale boy. His hand rests on my shoulder. Somehow the detail in his hand is stark, bony, veined, the nails slightly yellowed. And his face, oh God, his face. He's smiling, but it's wrong. It isn't joy, it's possession. I slammed the album shut. My chest felt tight, like I couldn't get enough air. I tried to rationalize it. A trick of memory, maybe? Or bad photography? Whoever he was, my brain had simply erased him from my childhood. That happens sometimes, right? But that night, as I lay in bed, I started hearing a faint whispering. At first, I thought it was my imagination, the product of too many hours in a dusty attic surrounded by triggers of old memories. But it grew louder as I strained to make it out. It wasn't a voice I recognized, though I could hear my name. Over and over in a low, rhythmic chant, whispering my name. Then came a faint scraping sound, the kind you hear when fingernails drag across wood. I jumped to my feet, heart hammering. It was coming from the attic. The album was exactly where I'd left it on the table. But as I approached it, my breath became shallow, rapid. The faint scent of alcohol, antiseptic, and something sour, almost like rot, infused the air. I opened the album, holding my phone's flashlight still as I flipped to one of the photos with the pale boy. His face moved. I swear to you, his eyes flicked to meet mine. I stumbled back, nearly dropping the book. When I looked again, his head had subtly tilted, his mouth slightly curled into a different shadow of a smile. I was too terrified to sleep, but exhausted as I was, my body gave in after hours of restless tossing. That night, I dreamed of the hospital, the fever dream I'd long forgotten. I remembered lying in bed, sweating and shaking, barely able to keep my eyes open. But there he was, standing in the doorway of the hospital room, watching me, still smiling. He said something I still can't decipher. When I woke up, the fever was back. My skin burned, my head hammered with pain, but I was cold, ice cold, like the air from the attic had seeped into my body. I stumbled to the bathroom and caught sight of myself in the mirror. My reflection wasn't right. My face looked panicked, almost warped. For just a split second, I could have sworn there was something standing behind me in the glass. I stopped going to the attic after that, but the whispers didn't stop. I've tried burning the album. I think it's cursed or haunted, but the damn thing won't burn. The edges of blank pages blacken and curl, but every single photograph remains untouched, except for the boy. In the flames, his face looked different, angry, almost feral. He was staring directly at me. The house feels alive now. It shifts and creaks, almost like it's breathing. I keep hearing scratching in the walls. Some nights I feel the attic door open on its own, even when I know I've closed it. And worst of all, last night I found a cracked porcelain mask in a chest I don't remember ever owning. It had my childhood nickname scratched into the inside band. I'm afraid to sleep. I'm afraid to look in mirrors or go back into the attic. And I'm afraid that every time I hear that whisper or see a flicker of movement in the corner of my eye, his hand is getting closer. Story number 7. All right, I've wrestled with myself for a week about whether or not to share this. I don't even know if I fully believe in the things I'm writing down. Maybe I just need a hard dose of reality. Either way, it's getting worse. So much worse. A little backstory. A couple of months ago, my elderly neighbor, Mr. Abbott, passed away. He was a recluse, quiet and odd, but we were on decent terms. He was an artist, mostly abstract work, and a few days before he died, he gave me one of his paintings. He told me he thought I'd understand it, except I don't. Not at all. The painting was weird, to put it mildly. It's abstract, dark swirls of black and gray, with faint, sharp red lines cutting through it. At first, I thought it was just messy art, but if you look long enough, the swirls start to look like twisted, screaming faces. I shrugged it off. Maybe it was my imagination, but something about it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up whenever I glance at it. And then the whispers started. They happen late at night, faint at first. It almost sounds like a television playing far away, but the words aren't in any language I know. They're low and guttural, rising and falling in pitch. The worst part? The more I try to ignore it, the louder it gets. It's under my skin now. It feels like the whispers are for me, like they're addressing me, but I don't understand. A week after I hung it in my living room, I started having dreams, if you can even call them that. In these dreams, I'm inside the painting, walking through its dark, abstract void. It's endless, cold, dead silent, except for the faint sound of something dragging behind me. I feel its presence more than I see it, this hulking, shadowy figure that exudes pure malice, chasing me no matter how fast I try to run. I always wake up covered in cold sweat, unable to breathe. But it's not just dreams. It's spreading into my waking life. My dog, Molly, used to sleep in the living room. Now she won't go near it. She growls at the painting, low and deep in her chest, before whimpering and running away. She started sleeping under my bed every night, shivering. I've even caught her growling at nothing before bolting out of the room entirely. One night, I tried to examine the painting up close. I could have sworn I saw something, movement, beneath the surface. Shapes that weren't there before shifted just out of the corner of my eye. When I leaned closer, the faint smell of rot hit me, sharp and nauseating, like something had died inside the canvas itself. And then there was the black, oily liquid. One morning, I woke up to find streaks of it dripping down the wall from the painting's frame. It soaked into the wallpaper and stained the floorboards underneath. No matter how hard I scrub, it won't come off. And I swear, whenever I touch it, I feel this pulse of freezing cold crawl up my arm, like whatever's inside the painting doesn't like me touching it. I've tried to get rid of the damn thing. I really have. I took it off the wall once, stuffed it in the attic beneath piles of junk, and locked the door. I figured out of sight, out of mind, right? Wrong. That night, at exactly 3:33 a.m., I heard faint scratching, fingernails or claws, coming from the attic door. It woke me up immediately. When I went to check, the painting was back on the living room wall, but it had changed. There was now a smudge-like figure in it, hunched and staring out. The figure, it's becoming clearer, and it's starting to look like me. Other things have started happening, too. Objects in my house are disappearing. My favorite mug vanished last week, and when I looked closely at the painting, I swear to God I could see something that looked exactly like my mug warped into the canvas. It's stealing things. It's absorbing my stuff. Then came the letters. I found the first one near the painting one morning. It's written in what I swear is Mr. Abbott's handwriting. It said something, not stopping until it gets me. Then a few days later, another one. Don't let it touch you. Where the hell did these come from? He's deceased. No one's been in the house except me. The scariest event so far happened last night. I woke up around 3 a.m. to the sound of faint footsteps outside my bedroom door. When I opened it, there were wet, muddy footprints leading from the painting all the way to my bedroom. But the part that made me want to throw up? There was a figure standing in the hallway, tall, gaunt, and barely human, with distorted features and hollow, gaping eyes. I froze, paralyzed, and when I blinked, it was gone. But when I turned on the light, the painting had updated. It now shows my bedroom, and there's someone standing over my sleeping body in the painting. The line between what's real and what isn't is blurring. The shapes in the painting are stretching, bleeding out into my walls, forming grotesque silhouettes. They whisper my name now, clear as day, and they beg me to join them. I don't know how much longer I can take this. Sometimes I catch myself humming a haunting melody late at night, but I don't know where I've heard it before. It's the painting. It's in my head. I don't know what kind of thing Mr. Abbott trapped in this painting, but it's not just a coincidence anymore. It feels alive. Hell, maybe it is alive. And I'm terrified it's trying to pull me in. Piece by piece, I need help. I need to know if this has happened to anyone else because I don't think I can last much longer. Some nights I swear I wake up to someone watching me from the foot of my bed. But when I scream, it's gone. All I'm left with is this overwhelming sense that one day I won't wake up at all. Story number 8. I'm not someone who typically gets scared easily. I love hiking alone, trekking deep into the mountains where the air feels fresher and the world is quieter. There's something meditative about being away from the noise of civilization. But something's been happening for the last 3 months that I can't explain. It's gotten worse, so bad that it started following me off the trail and into my home. It started as a single mistake. I took a wrong turn while hiking on a trail I've done dozens, maybe hundreds of times. I pride myself on knowing the area, so when I stumbled into an open meadow I didn't recognize, I froze. It shouldn't have been there. In the middle of the meadow stood an old abandoned cabin. It wasn't marked on any map. I wasn't carrying much gear that day, just enough for a quick hike. But curiosity got the better of me. The cabin was dilapidated, yet strangely intact. No graffiti, no signs of scavengers. Just a single wooden chair facing a dusty window. The walls were covered in photos, pinned up like some insane serial killer's collection. But here's the kicker. Some of the photos were of me. They weren't from that day either. They were from previous hikes. They captured me from angles I couldn't explain. Walking up the trail, pausing to take a drink, kneeling to tie my shoelace. Someone had been watching me for years. I panicked and bolted. I ran until I was back on the main trail. The rangers I reported it to found nothing. No meadow, no cabin, just ordinary forest where I swore I'd been moments earlier. I wanted to move past it, convince myself I'd been dehydrated, disoriented, imagining things. Except 3 days later, I received an unmarked envelope in my mailbox. Inside was a picture of me sleeping in my bedroom. I locked every door after that. I bought new curtains, but nothing worked. Every time I fell asleep, I'd wake up to something feeling wrong. I'd find things out of place, a chair slightly pulled back from the table, a closet door open an inch. Worse, I started hearing faint static from God knows what around 2 or 3 a.m. It would fade in and out like a worn-out radio, and sometimes there'd be a burst of light, like the flash from a Polaroid camera. Except no camera in my house could have done that. The envelope of pictures didn't stop either. One showed me sleeping. The next one? I was lying awake, staring wide-eyed at the ceiling. Then there was the one where the figure of me in the photo was smiling, a twisted, horrifying grin that I know my face has never made.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I wanted explanations. One morning I forced myself to go back to the meadow, but when I found the spot, there was nothing there. No clearing, no cabin, just dense woodland. Except when I was about to leave, the whispers started. At first, I thought it was the wind, but no, it was my name, over and over, spoken softly but urgently. It sounded like me, like my voice. I don't know how long I stood there listening, but when I finally ran from there, I swear I heard footsteps behind me. Footsteps have haunted me ever since, by the way. Every hike, I hear them following me, uneven and heavy. Whenever I stop or turn around, there's nothing there. But they don't stop. They just get closer. There's this feeling, too, like someone is right next to me, close enough that I can almost hear their breathing. About a week ago, I saw the cabin again. It wasn't where it had been before. It looked smaller this time, more broken down. The smell hit me before I even reached it, like rotting meat. Somehow I ended up inside, though I don't remember stepping through the door. The photos were still there, except now they seemed to follow my every move. The faces were no longer just hikers. They were friends, strangers I'd met briefly, hikers I recognized from the trail. Their expressions weren't normal. They looked frozen mid-scream. Now it's gotten worse. The photos haven't stopped coming, but it's not just my mailbox now. They're inside my house, stuck to the bathroom mirror, slipped into my laundry. Last night, I woke up drenched in sweat after a nightmare about the meadow becoming a graveyard of hikers. Their hollow eyes turned toward me, accusing me. This morning, an envelope was on my nightstand. Inside was a photo of me, in the exact moment I had woken up and screamed. Hiking feels impossible now. Every time the trail bends wrong, like the forest itself is trying to trap me. Familiar landmarks disappear. Sometimes, no matter how long I walk, I end up back at that damn meadow. Or worse, I see someone moving up ahead, a figure identical to me, staring across a clearing with the same blank expression. I don't know what this thing wants. I don't know if it's human, supernatural, or some twisted figment of my anxiety. All I know is that it's in my house now. I can't sleep. Everything feels wrong. If anyone out there has experienced this thing, please tell me what's happening to me. All I know is that I'm not alone anymore, and whatever is watching out there is getting closer.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.